Turn just a few books ahead where we left off. Acts chapter 20, the New Testament scriptures. Acts chapter 20. Sometimes known as the Acts of the Apostles, but really the Acts, the practices literally of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 20 will commence at verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. Our text is particularly verse 30, but I include verse 29, reading again, For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Today on this Lord's Day, May 22nd, 2011, we awake with a fresh realization of the success of the true prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the Sabbath was changed from the seventh to the first day of the week. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But today we also awake to the fresh exposure of a false prophet, if you will, the unmasking of a false prophet by the name of Harold Camping, who predicted the rapture of Christians yesterday. He didn't predict it yesterday. He predicted that the rapture of Christians would occur yesterday. In my lifetime, I've seen a man walk on the moon, the rise of the computer age, the salvation of my soul. I've seen some false prophets exposed like Jim Jones in South America the very year that I was saved. And you can understand my family wondering that if that after I was converted that maybe I had joined a group like his. Ted Koresh in Texas. But I didn't think that I would find such a major false prophet arising out of the Reformed group, the Reformed churches. I've seen a preacher that I ate with that preached the gospel turned back to Rome. We have seen a major exposure and unmasking of a false prophet of great degree. Deuteronomy was read today. If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? And this was often in the hearts and the experience of true believers as camping was gaining momentum. How can we be sure? Well, the Lord gives a very clear answer. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. Not only has he been in error, but it says that prophet has spoken it presumptuously. The Lord makes it very clear, not only is he in error, but he is in error because of his pride. He has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not fear him. Don't fear what he's teaching, and don't fear, as you factor in the other texts, don't fear dealing with that prophet the way that I have commanded. And of course, in Israel, it was a capital crime. They were to put the prophet to death. Concluded that is that this man is a false prophet. I want us to look at the marks and the effects of this false prophet and how we can prepare for the next one and the next one and the next one. For the Lord Jesus said there would be many false prophets. And some would say, well, isn't the danger not just the false prophet, but the false teacher? And that's true. Peter said there were many false prophets among you in those days, and he particularly warned his readers about false teachers. Well, this one was a combination. This one taught doctrine and changed doctrine, major doctrines, as well as prophesying the end of the world. The Lord told us to mark those which cause offenses and doctrines contrary to that which we have been given and to avoid them. So this morning, I want us to note the aspects of a false teacher and a false prophet and to urge diligence in detecting, exposing, and avoiding others before their influence is made on any person, church, or nation. This man had a huge influence, as we can see. There was much. There were many radio stations behind his false teaching. There was much. There was much money behind his empire, and after all, he had many followers. Today, we have to pick up the pieces. Many of them are devastated. A portion of them are probably going to jettison religion altogether. And who knows how many others may be endangered and tempted to take their lives. I was sharing earlier that there was a report of a woman that had already taken the life of her child because she was afraid of leaving the child behind when she was raptured. The Lord tells us three things, at least in this text in verse 30. Of your own selves shall men arise. A mark of a false teacher and prophet is self-exaltation. We might even call this the apostasy of arrogance. He turns from the truth right from the midst of God's people. This is an infiltration, as verse 29 tells us. Paul warns us of grievous wolves that will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Burdensome wolves. carnivorous wolves who enter in, they infiltrate. But that is not as deceptive as someone who comes from within a flock. If you read the entry there in your bulletin, this man particularly warns against those who deceive from within. This is not from outside, but this is from inside. It's an inside job that's most deceiving and spiritually damaging. Like Ahithophel, Harold Camping was an insider. He was from a Reformed church in California. They warned him, the elders in that Oakland church, many years ago, to stop twisting the scriptures and reading spiritualizing the literal and literalizing the spiritual. That's essentially what this man is guilty of. Just terrible exegesis. He spiritualizes the literal and he literalizes the spiritual. He was discontent with submitting to the elders. He was insubordinate. He was arrogant. And they put him out in 1988. But this was a man that held to the Westminster Confession of Faith and biblical inerrancy and the doctrine of Christ and the doctrines of grace and unconditional election. It's scary to think that there are those within that become apostates. Out of your own selves will men rise up. And this is perplexing to some because out of our own selves are where deacons and elders arise. We should expect the leaders of the church to arise from the nucleus, the congregation. And yet, Paul warns of such deceit and such the work of the dragon himself that he would cause men to arise from the congregation to deceive the people of God. How can it be so, brother and sister? How can false prophets arise from the midst of a Bible-preaching church, of a Bible-believing family of churches? We live in a fallen world. There's a hateful devil. He hates the church. This man taught people to hate the church. That's why it's not going to be a soon thing that they're going to be accustomed, they're going to desire to step over the threshold of a building where a church is assembled. They have been taught for over a decade to believe that the devil has infiltrated all the churches and that the churches are filled with apostates. He reversed exactly what was true of himself. How can it be? Because there are professors of religion who are without the Holy Spirit. You say, is he an apostate or a heretic? Yes. The Lord warned against those who add and subtract from scriptures that their names will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. This man is added and subtracted from the Word of God. We'll look at a few of those in just a little while. He lied. He lied to the world. He lied to Christian people about the end of the world. He divided churches, and the Lord hates those that sow discord among the brethren. Truly, he turned from the truth to fables, things that were not true. He also is a heretic. A heretic turns from the straight path into bypaths. The Bible warns about those who turn away from the truth. He taught that the atonement of Christ took place before time. When the Bible says in the fullness of time, Christ came to make atonement. He denied a literal hell when the Lord Jesus said that the man woke up in hell in torments. The Lord teaches that His people should be faithful. This man was unfaithful. He exalted himself. We're to be humble and faithful people. Little fish in a big pond. That's what we're to be. Esteeming others better than ourselves. We're the members of the body of Christ. This body is a representative of the whole body of Christ, a little representation. It's Christ that's the head that's to be exalted. We're to be faithful in taking our place and learning His Word, exercising our gifts, fellowshipping together, worshiping the Lord on a regular basis. So a mark of a false teacher and a false prophet is they exalt themselves. They turn from the truth and they turn to fables. We see the false prophets obviously have false doctrines. Secondly, we see that a mark is heresy. Paul said they speak perverse things. They not only arise from among you, self-exaltation, but they speak perverse things. That's heresy. Matthew 24:11, the Lord Jesus said the false prophets would arise to deceive. Literally, this reads, speaking perverting things. One is a verb and one is a verbal noun. So it's saying that he's speaking in order to pervert, is the idea. The purpose of their speaking is to swerve people from the truth. The perverting is the purpose, is the action that they're teaching, their speaking is causing. And you say, did this man purpose to swerve people from the churches of Christ? Absolutely. Did he purposely speak to swerve us from the gospel? Absolutely. His was not a gospel of grace. His was not a gospel of faith in the true Christ, but a gospel of hoping as a whistle in the dark that we'll never know if we're converted. He swerved us from the doctrine of hell to the doctrine of annihilation of those who are lost when they die. He swerved us from the atonement of Christ that took place in time to an atonement that supposedly took place before the foundation of the world. And the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago is just an example of what He did before time. This word to pervert is always used negatively in the New Testament Scriptures. The Lord talked about a perverse, a generation that swerves from the truth. Now, we use the word perverse sometimes as morally or as being immoral. But the word means, yes, an immoral person is crooked, is swerving from morality, from purity, from the truth. But this is referring to those who swerve aside from true doctrine. Luke 23, they falsely accused Christ. They said, we found this man perverting the nation. But what was untrue of Christ was true of Harold Camping. He perverted this nation. He sought to cause people to swerve from the truth. And he didn't just pervert this nation. They had billboards in Scotland. They had billboards all over the world. And we're told that a man emptied 140,000, just about all of his savings, for advertisement of doomsday. Harold Camping is responsible, especially for those who followed him also in 1994. The old adage is, fool me once and it's my fault, but fool me twice and it's your... Fool me once and it's your fault, but fool me twice and it's my fault. And we know of several in this area that have been fooled twice. It's their fault. But how many followed Camping for the first time and are devastated? Their inheritance for their children and grandchildren is emptied. It's gone. He perverted this nation and many other nations with his false teaching. People spent thousands of dollars on airplane fares, months of their time handing out literature that says Judgment Day, May 21, 2011. And I think every one of them should return to those places where they handed out literature and hand out the opposite literature and confess to the people that they polluted that we have sinned. We have discouraged your hearts. We have told you lies. For as public as a sin is, the repentance should be as equally public. Acts 13:8 uses this term again, that false prophet sought to turn away the deputy from the faith. And so heretics seek to turn away people from the truth. His false doctrines, again, as I mentioned, his adding and subtracting to the Scriptures. He believed the church age ended back in the 1980s. That since the 1980s, no one has ever been saved in a church. That Satan has taken over the church, using the text that he enters into the temple of God. That all the churches became synagogues of Satan. Friend, if the Bible says the dragon's the devil, and the dragon is the one that gives power to the beast or the Antichrist, the dragon and the man of sin can't be the same individual. It's the devil that will move Antichrist to do what he does, what he will do. The devil isn't the Antichrist. He is Antichrist, but he's not the Antichrist. The devil's not the beast. The devil's not the man of sin. The devil is not the little horn. He's the one that moves the man of sin, the beast, the Antichrist, the king of fierce countenance. Oh, the devil is snickering today. But there are many that have not been deceived by him. Camping gave a hope soul. Nobody can know soul salvation. But the Bible says, he that believeth on Christ hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But those whom he justified, he has already glorified as far as God's purpose is concerned. He taught that the sacraments are over. All the church sacraments are done. He taught progressive revelation. One time we couldn't know the time and the day, but now we can. The things that Paul and Peter and the patriarchs knew have changed. He had faulty exegesis. Again, he spiritualized the literal. When he read, not one stone shall fall, not one stone shall be left upon another. The Lord Jesus was predicting the fall of Jerusalem. Literally, that the Romans would come in and destroy those walls and the temple mounts. He spiritualizes, saying, not one church will be left intact. He literalized the spiritual. The Lord says 1,000 years or is one day, and one day or is 1,000 years. That relief is going to come sooner than we think. We think that our afflictions happen so long, but the Lord says that remedy is on the way. But he somehow read, as Noah was told, that in 7 days the floods will be upon the earth. And 1,000 years or is a day. So God is saying, since the days of Noah, 7,000 years before the judgment comes. It's an amazing feat of gymnastics by an 89-year-old man. When the Bible clearly says, no man knoweth, he said the no man is an unsaved man. What a leapfrog. What a leapfrog. They said Noah and Jonah knew that judgment was coming at a particular time. Noah knew within 7 days. Jonah knew within 40 days. If Jonah and Noah knew, we can know. But the Lord says, I'm not going to reveal that to you. That judgment is secret with the Father. And some say, what about when it says not even the Son knows? Well, that's not saying that the Lord is less divine than His Father. I believe how we can understand that is the Lord is not permitted to make that known. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, is omniscient as well as the Father. And if we ask, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, knows, He's poised for a time when He's going to come. but his coming is going to be at the direction of his Father. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord is still submitting to the will of his Father up right through his second coming. The day is going to come and he's going to deliver up the kingdom to God, and God shall be all in all. In other words, there won't be that submission, that submissive position of the Son anymore, that the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit will all be understood as equal. We will all worship each one as divine. The Lord tells us to watch out for these birds on the end of the limb, like Harold Camping. Heresy is a mark of these false prophets. They will speak perverse things. He's not the last, brother and sister, and there are still many on the scene. And the Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to change laws, the Bible tells us. He's going to wrest the Scriptures. He's going to teach perverse things to cause people to swerve from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good practice for the people of God. Heresies must arise, must come, 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, that those that are approved might be made manifest. See, the Lord told us in the Old Testament, I'm going to send these false prophets. I'm going to test you whether you love me. I'm going to test you whether you're going to be faithful to me. See, God is sovereign. The Lord determined Harold Camping to come on the scene. He purposed it. This is all according to his will. Now, you can divide his will into his direct will and his indirect will. Whether you call it his indirect will, it was under the envelope, under the umbrella of God's sovereignty that this man came on the scene. And I don't know if we'll see the man of sin in our lifetime. Maybe our children will. But this has been good exercise. Did you fear in your heart that he might have been right? Were you wondering whether you're going to feel rumbling in the ground yesterday? Or were you solidly standing on the rock of the Scriptures, standing on the promises of God? The Bible tells us that these false prophets would misrepresent the Lord. And we see that over and over again, especially in Jeremiah, they'll speak in my name. Heresy has to have authority, brother and sister. And they're not going to have much of a following if they say, I speak to you in my name. But Camping said over and over again, God showed us this. On their billboards, May 21, 2011, it says, the Bible guarantees it. He said all the other false prophets didn't have the Bible as their standard. But I'm finding all of my teaching from the Bible. You can see how it can twist the Scriptures. Teach what you want it to teach. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, don't be afraid of him if his prophecy doesn't come to pass. Rabshakeh came to the Israelites, you remember, and he said, the Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. I've come in the name of the Lord to tell you that you need to submit to the king of Assyria. The Lord destroyed that army. False prophets told the people Babylon would not attack Israel. Camping spoke in the name of the Lord. He misrepresented the God of heaven. But may I say, he misrepresented the church of Jesus Christ as well. He told everyone that the church, all the churches are teaching that we tell people to accept the Lord as a mere mental assent. There needs to be mental assent when we come to the Lord, but there needs to be heart consent. There needs to be both mental and heart acceptance, hearty approbation. But even having said that, it is not our faith that we have faith in. Accept, what do you call it, to accept the Lord or receive the Lord or trust the Lord or believe in the Lord. They all mean the same thing, but they're all means. Christ is the object of our salvation. He's the source. He's the beginning and the end, in the middle. He's everything. He is the rock upon which we stand. So whether my grip is loose or tight, it's the Savior who saves me from my sin. It's the least amount of faith, if it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, is saving faith. He put words into our mouths. He said that we teach that if you just verbalize a creed, that you'll be right with God. That seminaries have little concentration on the Bible itself. I vow to you, and I can attest to you, that that is a lie. That I had numerous classes in the Bible itself, that our instruction was from the Scriptures. That we were taught to study the Scriptures. He taught that the churches failed to denounce sins like sodomy and adultery. Can you say that's true of this church? The Bible tells us to lift up our voices like trumpets and declare unto God's people their sins. And he also positively, taught that all churches believe that divorce for any reason. No, I believe the Scripture gives cause for two causes for divorce. Not every reason. There are people that are stricter than the Lord Jesus Christ and say divorce for no reason, and are looser than the Lord Jesus and say divorce for every reason. The Bible clearly tells us that breaking the marriage bond by fornication and adultery is a cause for divorce. And desertion, where the person's gone out of the scene forever and ever. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He taught the churches teach you can know you're saved. Amen, you can. We agree with his accusation there. The Bible teaches you can know you're saved. You can know that Christ is your Savior, that you have the Holy Spirit. And he taught that we teach that no man can know the day or the hour or the month. I agree with that. He actually told some truths. But the devil likes to tell some truths in order to deceive us. Brother and sister, the counterfeit proves the reality. Because of the reality of in the bank, because of real money, men have counterfeited money. And the counterfeit just is there because of the reality of the real money. We should expect these counterfeits because of the true Christ, because Christ is coming again. We should expect the devil to hand in his counterfeits. Thirdly, we find discord, disunity, divisions that are caused by these false prophets. The apostle said that not only will they rise up proudly, exalt themselves from among you, and that these men will teach heresy to cause you to swerve from the truth, they will draw away, literally, the disciples after themselves. They seek to cause discord and disunity and divisions. It's interesting how the article is in front of disciples in the original. In other words, he's not just looking for those who aren't saved. The devil is looking to cause believers, true believers, to swerve. He knows that unbelievers in the midst of God's people are ineffective in the kingdom of God. And they're easy to spot. He knows them in their homes. He sees the lust and he sees the wickedness that they do at home. The devil's not bamboozled like we are. We can all, an unbeliever can come in and act like a believer. Wolves in sheep's clothing. The devil has that aspect to deceive his people. But he knows the unbeliever. He's looking for the believer. That's why the deception has so much of the Bible in it. Because he wants true believers. And we can agree that what's the percentage of those that followed camping that for years have forsaken the church that are true believers? Probably a good percentage that are smarting today. But because they have the Holy Spirit, there's hope. The Holy Spirit will convict and drive them back to where their roots are, to remember the fellowship that they had with God's people in the past. But they're the targets, the true disciples. He's already got the cults where He wants them. He's attacking the church. That's why Paul was so intense with the elders at Ephesus. You watch over your congregation. Because the devil's going to prey on true believers there. He's going to draw away. And the end is after them. Don't let him kid you. This man wanted disciples to follow him. He sowed discord among God's people. Proverbs 6:19, God hates he that soweth discord among the brethren. 3 John verse 9, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, receiveth us not. This was a modern day Diotrephes, Harold Camping. The true church seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, the Lord Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. Harold Camping ceased to preach Jesus Christ. We must keep preaching the Lord Jesus. This was damnable discord, brother and sister, because the Bible says where there is true unity among the brethren, where we dwell together in unity in public worship, there the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. And isn't it ironic that this false teacher taught that the river of regeneration no longer runs through the church of Jesus Christ, but outside? But yet Ephesians tells us, unto Him be glory in the church through Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In other words, the way the Lord set up His church and builds His church will run through all ages, right up through the end, even life evermore. There will be a church of the firstborn in heaven forever and ever and ever. The concept of the church will never end. Camping's tsunami leaves many Christians penniless. There was a woman, we're told, that was ready to attend college, and she said, I don't need this money for that anymore. She spent her money that should have been for college on Camping's heresy. People have had years without the Lord's Supper and the enjoyment of witnessing the baptisms of others, not to include weddings and funerals, where they could have been a tremendous encouragement and help. But they wouldn't step foot into a wedding or a funeral if a pastor, a preacher, was there to conduct the service. Years without Sabbath services, prayer meetings, and the fellowship of the saints. Unbelief in the Bible as it is. But their belief was in Camping's Bible, His twists and turns, His additions and subtractions. Now they find themselves, after the tsunami has hit, shame and ridicule. Many are separated from their families. A report of a man who left his wife and his children saying, I'm like pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress. I can't stay in the city of destruction. Now there are going to be years of probation from onlookers. It's going to take years for any of them to have any respect from their friends and relatives. Years of sins that they have committed to confess and forsake. Depression and anger to counsel and to treat. Disillusionment, some will never return. But maybe the Lord would use this heresy to separate the wheat from the chaff. The devil meant it for evil, but God means it for good. Misplaced zeal. Now may the Lord redirect it. You see, there's hope, brother and sister. You and I need to be ready to react, to encourage repentance, that they have been fooled for pride and insubordination. We have heard many to say, well, the doors are open, come in. That's true. But there needs to be, after the folks come into the churches, a teachable spirit and repentance of the hatred and of the discord. To give them hope that if they confess and forsake their sins, they'll have mercy. Some have said, what will become of camping? All I can say is what the Lord Jesus said, let them alone. The blind lead the blind. They'll both fall into the ditch. Will he correct his math? Will he salvage the diehards that won't leave him? I heard a man on the radio not long before yesterday that said, I don't care if this doesn't come to pass. You're my man. Shall he die soon enough? You look at the prophets in the Old Testament like Hananiah and Jeremiah 28 who prophesied that the Babylonians would not come to Jerusalem. Jeremiah said, for this deception you will die. Perhaps one of the worst things that has come from this has been the blasphemy that is the world has engaged in and the buffoonery, the rapture parties. It was said of David, by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The world sees camping as a Christian, though he isn't. They're hardened in their pride. I saw a nightline in camping would not answer the question, will you label yourself a false prophet if you wake up on Sunday morning? Wouldn't even entertain it. And McFadden turned to the camera that had just revealed camping and she said, we'll see. There's buffoonery on the radio stations here in Western New York. What will you do? What would you do if you knew tomorrow was the end of the world? Sadness about the lust and the revelry. Did anybody, Craig, did anybody say I would repent of my sins? Did anybody say I would prepare for eternity? Today's the day of salvation, as Fred said so often. Most of the time in the media, they didn't want a Christian perspective. They wanted a worldling's perspective. Question is, brother and sister, are we ready to react? To warn people that today, while you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't let counterfeit money discourage you from owning the real. Take heed that you hear the truth. We need to believe God's promises all the more. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Son of Man cometh. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. To execute judgment upon all. This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. As the lightning cometh, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Paul said, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. For brother and sister, death could be at hand. Tonight, our soul may be required of us. Are we ready right now? Our heart could stop beating immediately. Hell is at hand. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, was said of that king of Tyrus. Death is coming. Hell is looming. Can we bear to let them go? The message to the world is not to laugh and to party, but to take this as a warning shot. That was the boy that cried wolf But the wolf really is coming. And it was the boy that died. Camping, Christ is coming. You aren't ready. The world isn't ready. They need to flee from the wrath to come. Let's not be discouraged at what happened yesterday. God is still on the throne. His hands aren't wringing. He's not frustrated. But are we available? Are we concerned enough to step in at the water cooler tomorrow morning and to ask people to stop the buffoonery and to think about the real Christ and the fact that He's going to come as a thief in the night? That they need to be ready, that death could come to them at any moment. That there's no second chance once they die. God means this for good. The devil is celebrating, but his celebration will end. The unmasking of a false prophet, we've seen it in our day. But the true prophet, priest, and king remains on his throne, is poised to return. And until then, the Spirit of God is working throughout this world to save His people from their sins. As many as were ordained to eternal life will believe. But there are believers who've been wrecked, devastated, that need, like the Good Samaritan, we need to go and pick them up. Take them to the inn. See them recovered. Are we available? May the Lord bless His Word. Recover His people. Revive us. And use us to spread abroad the fame of our Lord Jesus and the gospel of saving grace.